Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Good, thanks, Michael. You well?
Very well indeed. Mate, before I ask you about your horses, we must make mention of an icon of Australia who sadly suddenly passed away on Monday night, and that is Michael Gudinski. No one needs to talk about the unbelievable impact he's had on the music industry in this country, which will be forever remembered. But he was also a great lover of horse racing, a three-time Melbourne Cup winner in partnership with Team Williams. And I know you put out a tweet yesterday just talking about the big loss that Michael Gudinski will leave for society in general, but also having a person of his stature and passion and love for horse racing is something that sadly we will all miss.
Yeah, and more so even that he's a personal friend. And you know, it's just gone way too early. He was such a vibrant character and irrepressible, really. I don't think I ever saw Michael when he wasn't, you know, he wasn't up. He was always, you know, he was always sparky and had a great idea and was enthusiastic and, you know, all those great things. He's just a good guy to be around. Lee probably was closer to Michael than the rest of us were, but and, you know, Lee's pretty devastated about the whole thing of communicating with him yesterday. But anyway, you know, gone too early, that's for sure. Only 66 years of age. That's just nothing these days. Anyway, well, he's going to be sadly missed in the racing game. He raced a lot of horses with us over the years, going back 30 years, and was always he's just a great owner to have in your stable. He could take a loss. Is better than most. He just brush it off and move on to the next.
Yeah, well, commiserations, condolences to his family, and I know Nick Williams and the team will be doing it tough, as will your brother Lee at the moment, and all those who know and knew Michael so well. When the time is right, we will try to regale some of those stories, because what a remarkable character and a remarkable life he had, and some of those stories would be unbelievable with the company that he was keeping.
There's a miniseries or a movie there.
Oh, is there what? Hey, well done to yourself and your brother too, Richard. That would have been a big moment for both of you, teaming up for your first Group 1 last week as well. The stable is absolutely airborne.
Yeah, we're having a good run. It's been a lot of hard work for the last 18 months or so to start from basically scratch as a partnership. I know I brought some horses, and Michael did too, but they weren't, you know, they weren't city class horses. They were mostly country and provincial horses, and to sort of lift it to the standard where we're now we're consistently competitive in metro class races, and that has taken, surprisingly, 18 months is not a long time for that to happen. We've been very lucky. But, you know, it's a very hard job, as any racehorse trainer will tell you.
What's your numbers at the moment, Richard? How big do you think you and Michael will get?
Well, we only have 60 boxes in the city here, so it can't expand beyond that. There's basically not an empty box at an ATC track at any time. And that is an issue. It does stifle people's growth. But, you know, we can't go beyond that at this stage. And that makes us, in a lot of ways, attractive to some owners, because they know we now have pressure on those boxes. And, you know, we have to be very forthright about whether a horse is a city-class horse or heading that way with our owners. And a lot of them appreciate that, because they don't want to be, you know, paying training fees for horses that are not going to eventually make the grade.
Well, you might be able to change it, Richard, because we found out during the week that you're the man behind the man with Peter Volandis. The announcement of the 10-race Metro card, increased prize money, and the Midway as well. Your brainchild.
Yes. I'm either going to be thanked for that or blamed for it, one of the two. Look, I mentioned that to Peter 2 years ago. And said, look, you know, with your bringing in country magic races, country championships, Cozzy Osco, and even the provincial trainers have their provincial championships races, which is only for them, it leaves the small metro trainer in no man's land. They've got to compete with the big boys, you know, the big four. I mean, four trainers in Sydney dominate almost 600 stables at ATC tracks. You know, and I'm sure you can work out who the four trainers are. They're very big and very powerful, and doing a great job. But it does place a lot of pressure on the ones under that to compete with them in every class of race that they're eligible to run in. So it was just those trainers were losing horses to country trainers and to provincial trainers because of those other races that were exclusive to them. So it just needed a race that was exclusive to the small metro and provincial trainers. So I think that, you know, that was the idea. I've had nothing to do with the detail since then. I was even surprised to see that it reappeared. I thought it was gone, but there it was.
No one can argue with the prize money. It's phenomenal, and it is brilliant for racing on all levels. Are you happy to have 10 races every Saturday Metro from a work perspective and, I suppose, staffing perspective?
Yes, not a problem. It's just the finishing times that become an issue. They start finishing those race meetings too late. Then it does impact on the work schedule and particularly on those staff. They you know, particularly for stables out of town who are travelling a long way to the races, they come in here for a race that, you know, won't start till 6:15. Well, by the time they get off course and start their trip back home, which could be 4 hours away, it could be 7:30, which means, you know, their staff are getting home with a horse at 11:30. By the time they've got that horse bedded down and got home, it's, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they're expected to start work the next day. And it's all very easy to say, I'll just give them the day off. It's not how stables run. Stables have to run very tight with staff. They can't afford to just be carrying staff constantly that are not able to work the next day because they had to go to a race meeting till 1 o'clock in the morning.
So will we see the first race at 11 o'clock on a Saturday to try and alleviate that issue?
I got no problem with you. Have the first race at 10, if you like. it doesn't worry me how early they start. It's, you know, the trainers would all like to start early and finish early. And I know we've got to balance that with the turnover on racing, which would be marginally higher the later you start, I'd imagine. But you have to strike a balance between what the industry can tolerate and the turnover aspect of it. And that balance is hard to strike, but it has to be struck.
Mm. Is the other issue the upkeep of the tracks? Is it time for Sydney to invest a bit more heavily on their metro tracks?
In what regard?
To try and ensure that they race better with the weather up there, trying to, I suppose, be able to tolerate the rain, which is constant in Sydney.
I don't think there's any amount of money that you can throw at that will change the wear and tear on the track. I don't think there's things not being done that should be done. Wear and tear on tracks is just a function of how often you race on it, and, you know, we race on our tracks far more often than they do perhaps in other countries, and we always want it perfect. And, you know, the two things just don't go together. What you probably need is more tracks.
And well, you would know better than most because you're at a turf business.
Well, no, you would know better than most. We have tracks at the moment where in Sydney, possibly more so than you do in Victoria, that are small, their starting points are not ideal. You draw wide at those tracks, it's very, very difficult to win. We need less of those tracks and more tracks that are spacious, good starting points. Then you get more runners in, you know, more starters in the races on average, and that spreads things out a little bit more. But, you know, that's a whole other show, what tracks we need in New South Wales.
Well, we can discuss that at another time. Let's try and find a winner right now, Richard. And how good is this colt staying side?
He's pretty good. He's a pretty good two-year-old. His biggest advantage is his mental attitude to racing. He's very mature for his age. He jumps quickly out of the gates, and even if he half misses it, he puts himself back in the race very quickly. And then he's quite happy to settle for the rider, can be a rare thing with a two-year-old. So that's his big strength, apart from his natural ability, which there seems to be plenty of. I don't think he's on his own there. There's plenty of two-year-olds in Sydney at the moment with plenty of natural ability.
Has he taken much improvement from his devastating win in the Piero?
Hard to tell. I mean, you know, you can't keep asking them on the track to break the clock because that works against you. So he appears to be as good as ever. His work yesterday was as good as it could be. So we can assume yes, but it is hard to tell.
Have you got any gut feel on how he'll line up against Profiteer and Remark?
I think he'll be competitive. I'm sure their trainers would say the same thing. They'd say, you know, all these colts, they're all competitive with each other. The way the race is run, the way the track is playing, they're the things that might determine the result Saturday.
Have you locked J-Mac in? He wouldn't give me any answers for your Golden Slipper as yet. Has he given you any?
Well, if he hasn't given you any answers, I'm not going to give you any. Really? You're asking me that after telling me he's not telling you?
I'm going to take your non-answer as an answer that he'll be riding stateside in the slipper.
No comment from me.
All right. What are you going to do with Forbidden Love? When do we get to see her next?
It's a toss-up where she goes. She can go to the Coolmore, and that's probably likely. She can go to the Farlap Stakes, which is probably another option. You know, if you drew 20 in a Coolmore, you know, you might want to go to a softer option. Farlap Stakes 1500 for three-year-olds, so that would be a winnable race for her, set weights. And, you know, there's a long-term thought that with 49 kilos in a Doncaster, you know, and she may qualify to get in at the bottom of the field there. If there was a soft track, which can often be the case in autumn here in Sydney, you know, she'd be competitive there with 49 kilos, and she can't be re-handicapped.
Absolutely, she'd be competitive. Are you going to go to the Black Opal with Glistening or run around in the Riesling?
That's a decision Michael probably make today or tomorrow morning early about which direction he goes with her. I think he's leaning towards the Riesling at this stage. No need to take on colts at this point in time, but that's one for him. He's got her over there at Randwick, and he knows her better.
All right. Who else are you looking forward to on Saturday? Have you got a winner for the listeners?
Well, I think Stay Inside can win. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a good winning chance, so he'd be one to beat. He won't be many odds. Just in the aspiration stakes for the mares, I've got a couple of mares in that. And Little Outback Diva, I know she's only 14 and a half hands high and 420 kilos, but she's in flying form, and I think she'll run a good race.
All right, we'll follow her. You've got one in today, Alakahan, any chance?
Well, yeah, I think he's favourite or second favourite today. He's drawn a little bit sticky. He's out in 10. He'll come in a couple with scratchings. But it just depends on how the race is run. He's a horse that gets back in his races, and, you know, if it's slowly run, it's challenging. Drawing wide gates in Sydney, especially at the smaller tracks, it just makes your tactics so difficult because it's you really are in tricky territory when you've drawn a wide gate.
Mate, best of luck over the weekend, Richard. It's good to see the stable is going so strong at the moment. And who knows, you may well have the slipper favourite after Saturday.
Well, let's hope. Did you get anything out of that interview that you thought was valuable?
I thought it was interesting to find out that you run New South Wales Racing rather than Peter Melandi. So that was the biggest thing.
Well, very good answer, that. I'll take that.
Right. Good on you, Rich.
All right. See you, mate. Bye. Richard.